The Peace President bombs. The TSA gropes and scams. The drug war rages on. The Fed prints and prints and prints. What do we do about it? At Nullify Now tour stops around the country, hear speakers like Tom Woods, Stuart Rhodes, Jim Babka, and many others. Learn about nullification and put it into practice right now. Visit nullifynow.com for more information. That's nullifynow.com.
Do you have a message, a business, a group, a foundation, an idea, or anything else that you want to get in the ears of the Tenther Movement? Contact us today about advertising opportunities right here on TRX Tenther Radio. Send an email to radio@tenthamendmentcenter.com.
There's a fever sweeping the nation.
I got a fever, and the only prescription...
the Constitution. Citizens are standing up and demanding that the federal government abide by the Constitution. Do your part in this constitutional revival. Visit 10thamendmentcenter.com/volunteer and plug in to the movement. Are you growing something in your backyard forbidden by the feds? Is fear of an armed federal crackdown deterring you from raw milk? Time to tell Washington, D.C., no. Time to demand that your legislators introduce the Intrastate Commerce Act. Get the bill now by going to 10thamendmentcenter.com/legislation. That's 10thamendmentcenter.com/legislation. You are listening to TRX on the 10th Amendment Center Radio Network.
I managed to explain to my 7-year-old what nullification meant, and it made me conclude that a panel of 7-year-olds would be better than the Supreme Court and the Federal Reserve Board put together. But also, as the 1990s progressed, okay, so then we've got the sanctions regime on Saddam. And the UN, okay, we don't like the UN, neither do I. The UN says 500,000 children have died of malnutrition because of the sanctions. And then the usual response is, well, that's a phony statistic, or if Saddam hadn't spent all his money on palaces, the kids could have eaten or whatever. That's neither here nor there. The point is, U.S. officials, Madeleine Albright and Bill Richardson, both said they did not question that figure. They said that price was worth it. They didn't say the UN is lying. They didn't say this is awful. They said that price is worth it. Now, I am sorry. There is impossible for a conservative who lectures the world about moral relativism to say, I mean, what? We are better than this. How can we allow ourselves to be so dehumanized that we sit here and allow ourselves to be called extremists when people who make excuses for the killing of 500,000 children to go about their business and we defend this. This is public policy. No! I can't do this!
Tom Woods, I'm sorry I missed that one. That was from Nullify Now Los Angeles, and Michael Bolden alluded earlier that people have been saying it's the best speech he's given yet, and it sure as hell sounded like it. This is Phil Russo, TRX, Michael Bolden joining me as well. Michael Bolden, I imagine the rest of the speech was just as awesome as that clip.
48 minutes of pure awesomeness. I mean, the rounds around the internet, they were saying in many ways this is maybe one of the first great speeches of the YouTube age. One person called it, similar to what Tom Paine did in Common Sense, because what he did, and I guess the best way that I can describe it, and I guess we're going to have Tom here on air in just a sec, one of the best ways I can describe it is after the show, I had people both from the left and from the right saying, you know, this is awesome. I wasn't expecting to agree with everything here, but this really opened my eyes in many ways. So Tom was able to present a speech that exposed conservatives to something new and people from the left to something new, too. But I think we have Tom on air. Tom, you here with us on TRX.
Okay, I certainly am, Michael. Glad to be here. And I'm sorry that I have to come to you this one time via cell phone, but I'm afraid it was just unavoidable.
Well, we
That's
are
all right,
really
Tom
glad
Woods.
To
it's
have
all
you
about
here.
You.
Thank you, guys.
Tom Woods, I had told Michael Bolden that I would be honored to interview you as the zombie if you're okay with that.
However you want to proceed is fine with me.
Okay, so tell us, we had talked a little bit earlier about nullification and what the whole concept is, but we were going to wait for you to really expand on it, so I guess that'd be a good place to start.
Okay, sure. Well, I haven't been able to listen in. We've been in the car, and but I assume most of our listeners have the basic gist of it, that nullification is sort of just based on the founding of the establishment of the Constitution by the states, and that the states, the peoples of the states, begin with all the sovereign powers, and they apportion those powers among the federal government and the state governments, and they establish the federal government as their agent, and they retain that sovereign power ultimately, which means that in the last resort, they can tell their own agent that it has stepped beyond the boundaries that they themselves established for it. And that's what nullification is, when the state refuses to allow the enforcement of an unconstitutional federal law within its borders. And it was a concept that was used for all kinds of purposes in American history that most people know nothing about. It was, and as the Tenth Amendment Center has repeated numerous times, it was used to fight against slavery and other important
slavery.
Stuff. Yeah, there you go. There you go. But it turns out that although people have been taught that anything that involves the states must be somehow sinister or evil or involved with oppressing people, to the contrary.
Neo-Confederate.
Yeah, there you go again. That's right. And my wife is laughing here in the background. I'm punching her. And then you could then say violence. But, yeah, and of course, the next accusation is that, well, isn't this just some old discredited Confederate idea? And, you know, aren't you people just looking to bring slavery back? Or whatever absurd accusation. But the truth of the matter is, first of all, that the northern states used these concepts at least as often. I think more often than the southern states did. But secondly, I mean, look at, if you're going to call this neo-Confederate, you have to face a rather uncomfortable fact, which is first that South Carolina, which was the first southern state to secede, complained in its declaration of secession that they were sick and tired of the North nullifying so much. And Jefferson Davis, who became the first Confederate president, complained in his farewell address to the U.S. Senate that the North was nullifying too much. So as usual, the truth of American history is much more interesting and less cartoonish than is the version we get, you know, in the media.
Tom, just before you came on here through the break, we played a couple of clips from your speech in Nullify Now, Los Angeles, and I was mentioning how some people were calling it the first great YouTube speech or first great speech of the YouTube age. Can you tell us a little bit what you are trying to do here in L.A. to bring people left and right together on this idea that the federal government is out of hand?
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and really what I wanted to do there was say something a little different from what I've been saying, because I feel like I've talked about nullification, I've described it, and you know, given speeches on it just about as many different ways as I can think of. So at some point, I got to do something different. And I thought, in this case, you know, I want to say some things that will challenge a lot of the people in the room, because, you know, we have, as you know, at these events, we have a real hodgepodge of different types of people. You know, I mean, and certainly in Los Angeles, obviously, there's a particular Tenth Amendment issue, you know, that people are kind of interested in that might be associated more with the left. And then, on the other hand, you get the 9/12ers and the Tea Party people, and they, you know, they're up in arms about Obamacare. And so everybody thinks that he's got something, you know, some kind of agenda item that fits in with what we're talking about. But what I wanted to do, really, Michael, is really what you've been doing all along, which is to say that we shouldn't think in these just capsule sort of terms that I've got my issue, you've got your issue, that the whole thing that we're doing here, we're talking about decentralizing power, is a movement in and of itself. And you know, sure, there are some strange bedfellows, but that makes life interesting. I would much rather be in a group where we've got diverse opinions that are outside the mainstream than be hanging around with Hillary Clinton and Henry Kissinger. You know, I mean, I would much rather, I think these are more the regular people of the country. So basically what I did was I started off by talking about, you know, giving the background on nullification, defending it, talking about how, you know, what you can expect when you talk about it. Well, you'll be smeared and condemned because, good heavens, how dare you adopt a position that the New York Times hasn't vetted for you in advance? How dare you adopt a position that both Joe Biden and Mitt Romney would condemn? You're not allowed to do this. We will tell you which positions you're allowed to hold. So I told him about that. And, you know, people have resonated with people. They've all been through this. But then I basically said, you know, look, we all have our own reasons for being here. And, you know, some people, you know, they want – there's some federal law they don't like that violates individual liberty, or there's some people just devoted to the 10th Amendment, whatever it is. I said, but I'll tell you what my reason is. My reason basically is twofold. And number one, domestically, I think the federal government is basically a de-civilization agent. I think it pits us all in a terrible civil war of all of us against all of us, as we're all clawing at each other to each get hold of each other's wealth. And I think this is very unhealthy and destructive. But I think also in its foreign policy, the foreign policy proves that we're not just dealing with bumblers who, you know, gosh, they just don't understand the consequences of government intervention and what a bunch of bumblers they are. No, they are actually a bunch of bloodthirsty sociopaths. And I said that, you know, I used to be a dutiful young conservative who, you know, you told me that so-and-so needed to be deposed by the U.S. military, I would salute, say, aye, aye, absolutely, whatever you say, that's right. I support whatever the foreign policy is. And then it dawned on me that maybe the foreign policy is made by exactly the same liars and sociopaths who make the domestic policy that I don't like. And this suddenly made me, and then, but also the key thing, the thing that I really, I think people noticed the most in the speech, was that I was talking about my own personal experience and what woke me up on this, which was that after, and here's a war that a lot more people supported than the more recent Iraq war, the Persian Gulf War of 1991. People would say, now clearly, look, I mean, you had Saddam invading Kuwait. What kind of pinko commie would you have to be to not want to wage a war, you know, for that? But my point was simply that after that war was over, and, I mean, at least 100,000 people had been killed, and, I mean, yeah, okay, I know a lot of these people are soldiers, but, you know, I still happen to believe these are people that I had no gripe with. I mean, it's not bothering me. And they have families, and now these families are now reduced to widows and orphans. This isn't something I'm going to celebrate, and yet I'm being told to wave my flag and turn on the Bob Hope special and do a jig. And I just thought, sorry, but that's inhumane, you know, right? I don't care you're going to try and call yourself a conservative. No, you're a neocon phony. A real conservative would have been appalled at how inhumane the state has caused us to be. And so it was that combined with watching the cold indifference on the part of Clinton administration officials during the sanctions regime in Iraq, when we learned that 500,000 kids had died, you know, they'd starved or had been malnourished. And they just said, well, that price was worth it. And I said to the people there, you know, especially conservatives who spend all their time lecturing us about absolute moral principles, and we can't be moral relativists, and yet these were the first people to jump on board and say, that's right, it is worth it to slaughter 500,000 kids. That's absolutely right, because we've got to get Saddam. We've got to get the guy our overlords have told us we're supposed to hate. We've got to go do this. I said, come on, people. Think. Don't let yourself be sucked into this. I mean, there are worse things in the world than Obamacare, and one of them is letting yourself become one of these foreign policy drones. Don't do this. And I think people, you know, I feel like I've been kind of biting my tongue on some of these issues, and I didn't intend it to come out quite so dramatically. I don't like people who get up there and pound the podium, and they have this whole shtick, you know, where they get all worked up, and people say, oh, wow, that guy's a great speaker. That's not my style at all. I find that phony most of the time. So I can tell you, I was genuinely losing control. Like, the reason it came out that way was that, I mean, it was almost like a disembodied me watching the speech, saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. And yet here I was.
So you got a lot of negative feedback from conservatives on this then, right, Tom?
Well, actually, I haven't gotten any. Well, I wouldn't say I haven't gotten any feedback. I haven't gotten any negative feedback. I mean, basically, what I got, and, I haven't read all the comments on YouTube or anything, but I'm pretty sure if you look through them, you will see, well, first of all, there's a rule of YouTube. The Woods rule of YouTube is once you hit 20,000 views, the comments section has already devolved into a debate on an unrelated issue. But if you can just get past like the first five pages of your comments, what you find is a lot of people saying, you know, I had exactly the same transformation you did. Exactly just the way you describe it. I said to myself, wait a minute. Why am I cheerleading for these lunatics that I would consider lunatics and horrible people and liars in any other context? Why do I drop my normal attitude of skepticism just because suddenly it's foreign policy? I mean, yeah, it doesn't mean Saddam's a great guy. I mean, duh. But that's a red herring. I don't have to worry about Saddam. I have to worry about the revolving door bipartisan establishment that governs me. And to the contrary, I got a lot of people saying, great, it's about time somebody like you said these things. Now, on the other hand, I was just a couple days ago on the Dennis Prager show, and we had a couple of nice segments. He's a, you know, whatever else you can say about him, he's a courteous guy. He doesn't shout down his guests. He doesn't call you names. And I do appreciate somebody who's civil. But then we had a segment, the closing segment. He wanted to talk foreign policy because he knew we would disagree. And I basically just, I thought, you know, I'm not going to hold back on this show to curry favor to sell some books. He had me on to talk about rollback. I could sell some books if I just sat here and, you know, and tried to cut corners and not really say what I believe. But I thought, you know, come on now. I mean, you don't sell that many books on the radio anyway. Like, what's it worth? Is it worth selling your soul? So I just said what I wanted to say. And I did get a little bit of negative feedback through email from that, people saying, how dare you? He said, look, if the U.S. government does not dominate the world, then amoral regimes will dominate the world. And so I said...
Is that to imply that ours is moral?
Yeah, right. I thought that was my response. I said, I think this is an amoral regime. And I had people who... And this is the sickness of nationalism. People who were personally offended by this because they've bought into this propaganda that we are the government. So if you criticize my government, you're criticizing me. They bought into this. This is a left-wing notion. This is not a conservative idea. This is Rousseau. This isn't Edmund Burke. And they bought into this. So I get people saying, how dare you say that about my country and my government? I'm not saying it about you, you dope. I'm saying it about this tiny group of people who happens to be in power. They couldn't believe that I would say this is also an amoral regime when they themselves, they themselves believe this is a regime that routinely violates the document they have taken an oath to uphold, a regime that routinely lies to them, that's made up of people whose, fidelity to their spouses is, shall we say, you know, leaves a bit to be desired. I mean, people who are just in every way condemned by conservatives on a daily basis. But if you call that amoral, well, how dare you assert this moral equivalence between the U.S. government and all other governments. I mean, it's like conservatism has degenerated into this contest of who can flatter the people the most. And the United States is the greatest country that ever existed in the history of the world, and we're the best, and we're sick and tired of people who don't believe in American exceptionalism, and we don't make apologies because we're awesome. And, you know, look, that worked with me when I was in the seventh grade. I thought, yeah, man, USA, baby. But you know what? At some point, you know, you graduate from the seventh grade, you move on. And you don't need to be flattered constantly with all this myth-making and nationalistic bombast. This would have embarrassed old-time conservatives. And yet this is what modern neocon radio hosts thrive on. This is their bread and butter. And no, I'm not going to repeat that propaganda. I believed and bought into this and signed on to some of the most inhumane, immoral policies imaginable because I didn't have the independence of mind to question it. So I'm not going to go along with this, certainly not on a show like that. I'm going to politely, but I'm going to express my difference of opinion. I had people writing to tell me how unhinged this is, how dare I think this way. And in fact, Prager said, well, now, what would your difference of opinion with Noam Chomsky be? And I said, well, I haven't read enough Noam Chomsky to know for sure what his foreign policy is. I know he's against a lot of U.S. intervention, but I said two things. I said, well, number one, the old right and the new left did have some things in common, and they said so. But much creepier is that today the whole establishment agrees. I mean, it's not enough to say I might happen to, for different reasons, agree with Noam Chomsky. I'd rather agree with somebody out of the mainstream than be part of this whole Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, New York Times, Henry Kissinger, Mitt Romney, John McCain mainstream. I mean, where all of them agree on everything. They agree. I mean, Dennis Prager agrees with Hillary Clinton and doesn't bat an eye over this. I think he has.
I don't want to admit that.
No,
we got to go to break here in a minute, Tom, and I know you probably got to run, but I wanted to make an announcement. I know you and I have chatted a little bit about doing another Nullify Now event, and we've actually just signed the contract and sealed the deal for Nullify Now in Kansas City on August 20th. Can we corner you here, you know, live broadcast to say that you're going to be our featured speaker for that event?
I would love to do it. I live like an hour away. How could I not? I love it. Absolutely. It'd be great.
That's awesome. We're really excited about it, and we've got some, you know, an interesting cross-section of groups that are going to be involved from some Campaign for Liberty, even AFP. So maybe we'll get some more protesters for people that are listening. We actually had protesters in our New Hampshire event because, you know, AFP was on board as a sponsor. So they must think that, you know, we're just a bunch of radical right-wingers and we can't agree on any particular topics. What do you have to say to people like that, Tom?
Well, I just say, first of all, people should be like Michael Bolden when dealing with such people, because you totally disarmed them by saying, look, we all agree that this regime is out of control. And then you listed the civil liberties violations, the foreign policy and all that stuff. And suddenly they realize, whoa, wait a minute. What am I protesting this for? That was perfect. And you showed how principled we are. We're not just there to cheerlead for George W. Bush. You started this thing during his term.
Tom Woods, can you stay for a second segment?
Unfortunately, I really have to go just because my wife and I never get to go out these days because we don't have sitters here in Auburn. So we have a rare chance. But I would love to come on again if you'll have me.
Yes, and I hope you're taking her someplace nice.
Oh, you betcha. All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Tom Woods, thank you so much. Go see Tom Woods at the Nullify Now in Kansas City. Worth the price of admission just to see him alone. Michael Bolden will also be there. And, you know, I guess in the coming weeks we'll have more of the schedule for Nullify Now Kansas City. Stick around. There's plenty more to do on the show, including your phone calls coming up straight ahead.
TRX. You're helping you to unlearn what they told you at government school.
Hi, this is Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center, inviting you to join me Saturday, August 20th, 2011, for Nullify Now Kansas City. Join us for an amazing educational seminar and our fight for liberty through nullification. Hear great guest speakers like Tom Woods, the best-selling author of Meltdown, Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, and of course, Nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century. That's Nullify Now on Saturday, August 20th, Kansas City. For more details and to get your tickets right now, visit nullifynow.com/Kansas City.